Welcome to Discover Film. I am your host, Jeff Howard, and today is a DF4Q podcast. That's Discover Film 4 questions, which are, very quickly, favorite films of all time, a film you think is underrated, a film you think is overrated, and a lesser-known gem that you think people should seek out. Today we're going to have the DF4Q answered by Doug Mueller. Doug is a writer and director, and also a cinematographer and a photographer and a documentarian. Doug does a lot of work in film, and he's also super talented, and if you want to see for yourself, go to Amazon Prime and search for Repatriation. It's a great feature. I have complete confidence in recommending it. Let's talk to Doug.
My favorites, if I got to limit it to two, I go Unbreakable, Apocalypto, and Dr. Strangelove. If I could extend it a fourth, I'd say Indiana Jones and Last Crusade.
I just got to ask, which one was Last Crusade? Was that the recent
one? The one with the dad. The one with the Sean Connery.
Oh, Sean Connery, right.
Yeah.
Cool.
There's a top. So that wasn't one of yours. That's not one of yours?
Last Crusade?
Oh, no, or? You said I had one of yours.
Strangelove is one of mine.
Strange, nice, yeah.
I cannot get enough of Strangelove. Right? Sometimes it's the debate between which Kubrick do I throw in, 2001 or Strangelove. But
yeah,
it's
yeah.
funny. In a lot of ways, I think Strangelove is just as technically brilliant, while just, I don't know. Anyway. It's not about me anyway. It's about you.
No, Unbreakable, Apocalypse. I think, you know, I think Unbreakable is like this great movie because it's, I feel like there's not a wasted moment. I love all the shots. I love the patience. I love the payoff. I think it's just like almost a perfect movie. And Apocalypto, I love too. I can't watch it as much anymore because I got two kids and it's, you know, it's a brutal film that I can't just have on in the background. At the time when it came out, I was writing a movie that was, I felt very similar. And so when it came, you know, when it was out, I was kind of disappointed, but I wanted to, you know, I kind of wanted to like it because this was like, I had so much overlap. I thought, oh my God, how could I not love this movie? With, you know, all these kind of overlapping themes and, God, I saw it and I just was, oh, it was everything. I just thought it was everything from, you're just on the edge of your seat and it's set up and payoff and over, and I just think that's great. And I don't know what to say about any Stanley Kubrick movie. I don't know what happens, but it's, you know, it's like a virus or something. It's just great. I remember watching Barry Lyndon for the first time and I couldn't believe, you know, like an hour into it, I was like, oh my God, I don't know what's going on, but this costume drama is incredible. Like I couldn't even tell you why. I have no idea what's going on, but it's just masterful. It's just amazing.
Yeah. You know what? And I got to say, I think, although it's not uncommon, but I think sort of something that goes through all your favorites is that they're made by like a visionary type filmmaker.
Yeah, I think they don't feel like accidents, you know, like, I mean, like 2001, like you watch this movie, you watch any of these movies, you know, they didn't stumble across anything. You know, it felt like everything's crafted. Everything's very like, everything is thought about, and I love that. I think
totally. I think maybe the word I was looking for was their auteur, right? It's auteur works.
Right.
Yeah, because, yeah, definitely. Everything is well thought out. All right, well, question number two, which is kind of fun, is the film you think is underrated. So you feel like the societal view of the film, it doesn't give it the props it deserves.
Yeah, this is hard. I don't know how to measure this, although when I first thought of the question, I immediately think of two films, or sadly, Inside Llewyn Davis, which I think people liked, but I still think like it's still so, I mean, I watch this movie once every couple weeks. It's like the movie that's always on in my life in the last year, and I can't get over it. I think like, and every time I watch it, which is a lot, I see something new and I was like, oh, and it's just, it's, again, it's like this finely crafted thing that is so understated and so subtle that, you know, it doesn't, I just don't think, I think it passed people over a little bit. I mean, it's a Coen Brothers movie and everyone likes a good Coen Brothers movie, but it just didn't, that and Minority Report. I used to watch Minority Report all the time, and it was another movie that I couldn't, more I watched it, the more I got, and I just was so impressed with the layers and, you know, so when people dig on, you know, Spielberg or, you know, hasn't made a good movie and this and that, and I can't, like, Minority Report to me is as good as, you know, any movie he's made, and I don't know if it, like, has that grip on society of, like, the social science fiction success that I think it is, because I think it just is unbelievable. I just love it.
I totally agree with you on both, and I can't believe I'm going to share this. I will edit this. I haven't seen Llewellyn Davis.
Oh, dude, yeah.
And I am, like, a hardcore Coen guy, and I don't know if it was the folk music angle or just, like, the way the release was too quick, but I...
Which it was. It was a flash. I mean, yeah. The movie was in and out in no time. It's as if they know that nobody's going to see these movies. I don't, but I haven't seen Hail Caesar yet either, so don't feel bad.
Okay, well, I took the time to get Hail Caesar and watch it. Because I'll watch. But I'm actually super embarrassed that there's a Coen Brothers movie I haven't seen. Your pick has shamed me. I'm going to make a point of getting that for the library right away. and I think you're totally right about Minority Report. And I think you're totally right about Spielberg. I actually kind of personally was kind of a Spielberg... I used to think Spielberg was very overrated, especially his early work. I think it's way heavy-handed. I think it's way over the top. I think it's way too much Hollywood spoon-feeding. Mm-hmm. And then as he has matured, and I know I'm talking about a guy who's 20 years older than me, but I think his later work is way stronger. You know?
I saw the Bridge of Spies, you know, way after it came out. But I watched it on my computer. It's another movie, like, I have no idea what's going on in this movie, but halfway through it, it's like, oh my God, this is really fantastic. And it's not because of any gimmick or, you know, it's just, I feel the same way about Christopher Nolan. I feel like this guy's not doing anything that is, you know, he's not inventing bullet time or, you know, there's not some whole new charade going on. It's just like this really solid filmmaking that is, I don't even know what's happening, but it's just so good.
I know it's hard to pinpoint what makes a Nolan film better than the rest, but they kind of are.
Yeah, I love Dunkirk. I mean, I saw the movie like three times. It's just, and it's a, like, I love this visual storytelling. I mean, I think that's, you know, that's a big plus of, you know, you're really trying to tell the movie with pictures as a priority, and that was the app in a secondary.
Yeah. Believe me, when that movie came out when the podcast was starting, so it was like, much discussed, but I'm a really big proponent of it. I was going to ask you if you've seen Munich.
I did, but like back when it came out and they're doing it in a time, you know, you can go, I finally watched Wonder Woman last night, and like half the movie, you know, it's fine, whatever, but it's all this green screen stuff, and, you know, it's obvious, and as good as it's done, it's still obvious. But these shots he's doing in Munich where the camera's sweeping around, and it's looking up at a building behind him, and pulling focus, and you know, swinging, you know, they're not bullshitting. They're again, like, these are craftsmen. They're a bunch of ladies and gentlemen go out the street there and figure out how they're going to do this amazing shot, And I just love that's like,
yeah,
that's
no, it's great, it really is, really is visionary. All right. Well, after that, I don't know if you're too nice a guy for it, but what's a movie you find overrated that everyone seems to think is great and you either don't get it or think they're actually wrong?
Well, I don't know. You kind of bust me on this. It's hard to, you know, art is so subjective. So, but in the broad strokes, you know, I'm a guy who, is bitter and upset for every Pirates of the Caribbean and Transformers movie that gets released, and just such incredible amount of money, and that we're losing, you know, this $20 to $40 million drama, you know, as an option in the theaters is upsetting when, you know, you can make four of those for every, you know, baloney movie that I'm not inspired to see at all. So I don't want to like rag on one movie because I can't think of any movie I dislike that much.
So are you nailing the shallow blockbuster in general or the sequel phenomenon? I mean, is it, if there was one Pirates movie and one Transformers movie, it might not be so
This is true.
But I didn't, totally. How many are there of each? Like five or six?
I think it's about there. And I, you know, like I can't like make this blanket statement because I'm super excited to see the new Star Wars movie in a couple weeks. So, you know, I can't just shit on like a $200 million movie because I will absolutely be lining up for a couple of those. But, you know, I feel like. Like, I'm a big Michael Crichton fan, for instance, and he wrote this fantastic pirate book. And I think, like, wow, that sounds great. Like, the idea of seeing, like, you know, a realistically rendered pirate instead of this cartoon, you know, maybe society wouldn't mind seeing what real piracy kind of looked like. And, you know, I don't know if we've ever made a movie ever that kind of really, you know, is like a real kind of piratey with swashbuckling kind of pirate movie. And
that would be actually really cool.
And I hate how it kind of consumes the marketplace. And, you know, there's, you know, I know that Amblin bought the rights to it, but, you know, they're not going to release another pirate movie as long as they're making these other pirate movies.
Yeah, I know. It's a bummer because I think the studios shy away from that era because, like, Master and Commander didn't take off.
Right.
And
Cutthroat Island is this famous disaster.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Well, it's pretty hard to shoot that stuff, too. Although, man, I also love, not that it's the same deal, but like 1492, I think, was one of the most beautiful things.
Oh, God.
That was just eye candy.
I'm all over that shit.
Yeah. Well, I also got to compliment you. I think you might just be too smart for like the dumb Hollywood summer movie, you know, that's just meant to get teens in there to go, look at the fucking robots.
Right. Yeah. I don't, I mean, I guess it has its place, but that it seems to have consumed the whole, I don't know. It's just taking too big of a bite.
Yeah, no, it's well, and in that, yeah, I mean, you mentioned Star Wars, but yeah, a lot of people mention how like Spielberg and Lucas kind of broke,
destroyed this. Yeah,
I don't know. I wouldn't blame them totally. It's probably more just the corporatization of the studios that instead of being run by movie guys, they're run by accountants. But
yeah, I also think that it's. I think it's like a free market. You know, everyone's like, well, we're getting what we buy for. But I also think that the end consumer isn't always the driver of the marketplace. And, you know, for AMC, they have completely different goals than, you know, other movie theaters. And them being a big player, I think they then, you know, they have an incredible influence over what the end user sees. Just like I think, you know, Target and Home Depot aren't really giving the consumers what they want, but giving consumers what Home Depot wants.
You bring up like a really often ignored fact, which is theatrically, I mean, there used to be, I don't know how many theater chains, but these theater chains trying to pull audience in, they would put out your, you know, some movies from overseas and some independents and, you know, some stuff out of Sundance. Like, there used to be a home for that.
Right.
And I mean, it's down to one or two theater chains tops. And I mean,
right. Like before the movie starts, you get their advertisement and it's like 10 theaters are all like, this is a AMC, but it's also these 13 other ones. And consolidation is presented for you before every showing.
Believe me, it's one of the things that bugs me from where I'm sitting now, programming two film festivals is, you know, I see a film like yours and I see a couple of the others that you can kind of read through me. If I've done a podcast on a feature, that means I think it's freaking great. And, awesome. And it's the kind of thing that in my mind, like it would have had a shot maybe at like an 8-city art house release in, right. And you know, 10 year in the 90s. And I just don't see how it happens now, which is interesting. Interesting thing is one of the filmmakers who was just at Sherman Oaks is he's like, yeah, you know, we're thinking with AMC, you can rent 8 theaters around in the 8 biggest cities of the country and do your own little release.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I wonder why I'm not hearing about that more. But it might be prohibitively expensive.
Well, I think it's, I think it goes back to the, I have to go in a second, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but, no problem. Oh, you want to just do your last?
I'd love to say this. So I think it goes back to the last thing about what's socially unacceptable. And I know going through college in film school, you know, it was taught that it was socially unacceptable to be four-walling your own movie. And, I don't, that might not be the case anymore. And I think that's something to totally seriously look at.
Since you got
to
run, the last one is a lesser known film, that hidden gem that you think people should seek out.
Oh, right. Yeah. So I'm a big fan of Frederick Weissman documentaries, and I think more people should watch them. So I would suggest High School. High School is a one that I always like showing people. They're just fly on the wall, slow, boring documentaries that are wonderful and cinematic and beautiful in their own way. So, High School.
All right, there was Doug's DF4Q. I gotta say that Dr. Strangelove, if I met someone who didn't like that movie, I think I would just assume I wouldn't like that person. I just don't think I could understand the person who didn't enjoy Dr. Strangelove. Let's wrap this up. If you go to discoverfilm.net, you can get a link to Doug's film Repatriation. It's on Amazon Prime. Like I said in the intro, it's a great film that you should watch. At discoverfilm.net, you can also see a lot of great short films. The podcasts are there with every filmmaker's short film. You can see about the film festivals that I program on there. And I think that takes care of it. Thanks for listening.